I want to read to you an amazingly true story today from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Listen to the Word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, Jesus said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The same God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I would like us to meet a woman this morning, a young woman, probably in her 20s or 30s. She has had, well, kind of a hard life, full of ups and downs, and honestly, more downs than ups, if truth be told. She's had some pretty serious emotional stresses and strains over the years. She's been through a series of failed relationships and maybe even pursued some that she should have left well enough alone. But about 2 years ago, she met a person who transformed her on many levels. Life changed for her when she met this man, and no, there was no sudden love affair, mind you, as some have suggested over the years. But that being said, I know she would tell you that she loved this man deeply. She would also tell you that when she was with him, she felt herself somehow to be healed. And certainly others who knew her would tell you that whether she was with him or not, over time she had indeed been healed. They could see it as well as she could. And if you asked her what he gave her, she probably would have had to search for an answer. And eventually she might have used a word like the kingdom, or maybe vision or dream. She doesn't really know for sure, but she would develop a thoughtful gaze and look at the far-off horizon and eventually say quietly, "He gave me a vision of a new world. And it was a world where I was different. And relationships were different. And where, well, even in a strange way, all of nature and life and even death was different." And when someone would press her and say, "Different in what way?" she would search again for words in a long, pregnant pause and eventually say, He seemed to be asking me to imagine what the world would be like if God's will was everywhere and always known and followed. He called it the kingdom of God. And he said that it was glorious beyond any glory or any joy or happiness or wholeness that we can know. Well, time went by for this woman, and she spent an awful lot of time with this man. By now, there was a community of men and women who began to share that same vision. And eventually, Mary, that was her name, Mary. Eventually, Mary left the village of Magdala, where she was from, by the lake, and she followed him and them. And for about 2 years, things went smoothly. Well, pretty smoothly, I guess, because there were certainly some unpleasant times. There were arguments and disagreements, sometimes a very insulting crowd pressed upon them. Sometimes even a fair amount of danger was present, enough certainly to make Mary's palms and forehead sweaty. But she and they watched him move through it all without much stress or cost, really. At least it seemed that way from the outside. But then everything changed. Gradually, it became clear that he and they had more enemies than friends. And the danger became intense and frightening. Afterwards, she would remember those last few days and weeks as if they were a dream, a very different kind of dream, a terrible dream. She would call it a nightmare. And then came the day that she would remember the rest of her life. She was on a slope, across from a small hill, but close enough that she could see vivid detail. And on that small hill, there were three of those obscene crosses the Romans had put up all over town. And on one of them, the man she loved was writhing and moaning in pain like a wounded animal. His body was naked. His face was ashen white and caked with blood and sweat. He'd lost all control because of the pain. And she was sobbing and shaking hysterically as she watched it all. But she hung in there. And she stayed till evening, until she saw his body taken down by friends. And she followed them from a distance until she saw where they laid him. And then she left that place and went to the room she had rented in the city. And she tried to cry herself to sleep. But sleep eluded her. It would for days. And finally, today, the first day of the week, we join her. It's not yet dawn, and she has reached the rock wall where she saw him placed. And to her utter amazement, The rock has an opening, and the stone is rolled back. She backs away, terrified and shaking, and then she turns and starts to run, and she runs to where there are others who know her, and others who know and follow him, and she bursts in, and she hears herself shouting, "They've taken him! They've taken him!" When one of them holds her and gets her to stop shaking and crying long enough to help them understand what she means, she explains clearly all that she's experienced, and soon they rush from the house, and Mary follows them. John, being the young buck he is, gets there first. But fear freezes him in his tracks 20 yards from the open tomb. Fools rush in, he remembers someone telling him. And in that moment, he would be no fool. But Peter, well, Peter was no fool either, and he'd tell you so, but still, he rushes into everything. And so Peter rushes by John and lowers his head as he ducks inside the darkness beyond the stone wall. John slowly goes in after him, and they stand there in the cool shadows, staggering in shock, cotton mouths and eyes wide open. They are speechless. They will remember this moment for the rest of their lives and what they see and what they don't see. They see the linen that had wrapped the body folded and the one that had wrapped his head rolled up, and each placed at an end of the stone slab. And what they don't see is the body. They come out of the tomb as if in a trance and seem to be unaware that Mary is there. She waits in silence as they walk slowly by her, saying nothing. And they keep walking, and once they make the turn in the bend of the path and head for home, she turns back to the tomb and takes a few hesitant steps toward it, tears clouding her vision. And then she too stoops into the tomb. But for her, instead of cool shadows, there is a brilliant light and heat. And it seems focused on the place where the body should be. And the light itself, it seems to have a voice all of its own, and it questions the reason for her weeping. It catches her short of breath, and she steps back into the open air, and she hears a voice again. She turns, and the figure in the shadows could be anyone. And again, she hears a voice that is questioning her weeping. And this time, she asks for pity. And if the body is available, could she please be taken to it? And then, she hears her name. Her name. Mary. And all around her blazes that same light and warmth that was in the tomb. And in that instant, she knows. She knows. She lingers there for not a short time. That evening, she makes her way back to the city and to the other disciples. And this time, there is no running. And there is no shouting. And there is no sobbing. The news is too great, too joyful. And she walks into the house where they are gathered, and she looks at them and they at her, and she says quietly and yet ever so reverently, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And her face and her voice are such that there are no questions. All this, of course, happened a long time ago, and Mary was never the same again. Neither were Peter and John, who ran with her that day. And if you would have asked Mary afterwards what had happened that day and what she believed, she would have said simply and purely, "He is risen." Peter and John, they would have answered the same way, "He is risen indeed." And if in each generation over the following 21 centuries you'd asked people, "What do you believe about all of this?" Millions of people would answer, "Jesus Christ is risen." And millions more would answer, "He is risen indeed." Today, in a world that seems so different in so many ways from any world that existed thousands of years ago, many still ask, "What do you believe about all this?" And millions of people still reply, "Jesus Christ is risen." And of course, what you yourself say in reply to that question has to be your choice. But the irony, of course, is this: that whether or not you and I believe that it is so, it is still true that Jesus Christ is risen. Just ask Mary. She has seen the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, you know what we believe about all this. The fact of the matter is that that doesn't really matter, because you have risen. Mary has told us that it is so. May that make all the difference for each of us. We pray in Jesus' name.